So students, in this chapter, we are going to look at the essential elements of the recruitment process. So in the previous introductory chapter, we have looked at recruitment as a concept, as a process. Here we are going to expand upon those ideas. So here we will look in detail about the recruitment process. So let's look at the introduction first. So as we've come to know, it refers to the process of attracting, screening, selecting and onboarding a qualified person for a job. Now, when we consider it from a strategic perspective, so at this particular level or perspective, it may involve the development of an employer brand, which includes an employee offering. So this is a process where a reputation is shared with an employee. So the employee has to take into cognition or take into consideration that they are joining a reputed brand and their lives will be, secure, more value will be added to them because of joining such a reputed brand. So in the overall process of recruitment, pre-screening is the method of evaluating the quality of a candidate before interviewing them. Now, as we have come to know, after a pool is generated, what happens? There is a selection process which begins or is initiated. Now here, what we do is we do a pre-screening. Now pre-screening involves the process of doing a quick sweep, which involves looking at the person's profile or their CV or their resume, and at times also having a quick chat with the candidate or the prospect to understand from them. So this process, it begins by evaluating the candidate's application, as I just mentioned, then moves on to their cover letter and the resume. So the application may be provided to us online along with a cover letter, which tells us why the candidate would, be required to join our organization. And the resume, which is a sort of the curriculum vitae or a biodata, which tells us all the details about their qualifications, gives us the details of their experience, their aspirations, and along with the cover letter, another mention as to why would they be interested in joining the organization. A pre-screening interview is a series of questions that lets the recruitment professional learn more about a candidate before conducting a further extensive interview. Now, as you might have realized from this short conversation, the need for the pre-screening. So pre-screening saves time because in a very brief and a systematic manner, people are able to realize if they have come across the right candidate's profile and would like to take that further for interview. If they realize that it's not the right fit for the organization, okay, sometimes due to overqualification, sometimes due to underqualification, sometimes the job description not matching the relevant experiences that are cited, they may forego a more detailed interview. Now, these are, in a pictorial manner, the 7 stages of the selection process, where the employees tend to go through a certain filter or a funnel, so prospects basically, in order to for them to join the organization. Now this happens from a very wide pool of candidates and is happening at the application. So multiple people do apply for a published position, and as you can see, these people are more in number. So this is the largest number or pool of people at this particular stage, which is known as the stage of application. Now they undergo a process of screening and pre-selection, which we have just discussed, where as you can see, the number of people dwindles. It goes down from a larger pool of people, it gets reduced to a more compact size. Post the pre-screening, as the recruitment professionals, as the hiring professionals deem fit, they will filter and funnel the appropriate candidates to the next round, and they will subject them to a more thorough, a more systematic interview. Now, those who pass the initial rounds of interview will then be subjected to an assessment. So there will be an assessment of their skills. Here they could have a personality test, as was mentioned in the first chapter, an intelligence test, a performance test, or they might also encounter the aptitude test. After they clear this, there will be a reference and a background check. So as you can see, students, the number of people as they are funneled gets dwindled or it gets reduced to the final few who make the cut. So reference and background checks are quintessential. They give us a clear idea of how the person had performed in their previous organization. Are there any red flags that we need to look at despite undergoing these four specific rounds? This particular aspect will be cleared through the reference and the background check. Now, still, if we need a more concise number of people, we have the liberty to make a judicious selection or a choice between those that will go to the final round, the round where they will be offered the final letter and they will be onboarded in the organization. So with the help of this seven stage mechanism of the selection process, we will get the right fit for the organization most of the times. So let's look at the requirement analysis, aspect of recruitments. So a focused and detailed business requirements analysis can help organizations avoid problems in the future. This process of discovering, analyzing, defining, and documenting the requirements that are related to specific business objectives. Now, this gives rise to something which is very important from the context of recruitment. This gives rise to the specific job needs or requirements, which are usually written in the form of a list that contains the most important qualifications that a candidate must possess in order to be able to perform certain job duties. So a thorough research and analysis needs to be done, which will then form the basis of the JD, the job description, or the entailing list of the job requirements. So in this image, we can observe some of the important stages or steps in the requirement analysis process. Now, this basically begins with the selection of jobs that need to be studied or analyzed. Correct? Now, this includes the various aspects which can make the requirement analysis more robust, more broad-based, followed by determining of the information that is required. So what sort of details need to be studied, what sort of data and information needs to be added is reviewed at this particular stage. We will also look at identifying the sources of data. So data may pertain to the current data, it may comprise of historical data, it may add more relevance and meaning to this process of requirement analysis. This also includes determination of methods of the data collected. So what sort of data is collected? Does it match the job description? And would it be handy in the future when the incumbent becomes, an employee and starts working on the diverse processes? It also includes evaluating and verifying of data, which will create the right fit. It will help the pre-screening and the interviewing process. And finally, using data to begin the process of writing analysis and then the JD or the job description. So this all leads to a more profound job description, which can be used for the process of hiring, specifically the pre-screening and selection processes, and eventually the interviewing and the testing processes. As a part of the need analysis, we need to understand and check for these specific questions. So if these questions are answered in a satisfactory manner, then we can go ahead and we can develop a job need or publish a job requirement. What are these questions? Is there a vacancy at all? So has there become a void or a gap or a vacancy for several reasons? What does the business demand with regard to this role and the team? So this specific role that we intend to recruit people or select people for, what does it, you know, how does it relate or liaise to the business needs or demands? Can some tasks be reassigned to other teams? So we need to also make an analysis whether some tasks, you know, can they be reassigned to the other teams? Or is there a need to hire somebody? So there is a call that can be taken, a choice that can be analyzed and judged as of this moment in time. Is this an opportunity to cut costs? So by hiring or recruiting, can we create value, or value can be created without hiring and putting additional responsibilities to existing employees or professionals? Is the job title more senior than the actual responsibilities? So we need to make an analysis related to the fitment of the job. And is this a career development move that could be offered? So how can the job be sold to the aspirant is another particular aspect that we need to consider. So can the recruitment professional play a healthy role in promoting the organization towards, you know, the aspirant perceiving the job as something as a career progression for them? So these are some very important questions which need to be asked in the need analysis phase. Now in the pre-screening, so we have already had a very brief and a very primary sort of a discussion related to the pre-screening process, and I'm sure this has created some basic level of awareness in your minds. So the pre-screening is about a matching of the profiles or the job resumes to the advertised required skills and the competencies of the new hire. So every organization endeavors that their employees need a certain skill set if they're hiring from outside, correct? Like, let's suppose that there is a job for a blockchain technology, engineer. Now in this job, it entails knowing the niche details. If this particular job requirement is working on a specific technical aspect, so those technical qualifications, if it needs certain courses on certifications done on blockchain, those aspects, if it entails experience in the supply chain or the procurement management department, then those specific aspects. So all these particular factors need to be a part of the job resume or the applicant's job profile, and then the job profile can match the job description. Now a diligence or a due diligence has to be done by the person who is doing the pre-screening to ensure that there is a fitment between these two, which I've cited as an example to you. Now efficiently or effectively done, the background checks often clear out the worst of these applicants, enabling companies to avoid many of the worst hiring mistakes. So pre-screening can also include background checks. So when you are in doubt, you may want to quickly have a call or get a call done. You can skip a few stages. Hence, this point becomes relevant in this particular slide. Now, some of the other requirements will be discussed here. So pre-screening has to be based on matching of the JD and the job resumes as stated earlier. The HR recruiter has to see the essential requirements made by the hiring manager and make a detailed comparison with the job resume. So the job is to be as analytical, as slow, as patient as possible to find out the exact match with the job resume of the job description that they have published. Thus, the pre-screening is a part of the operational recruitment. The excellent job description is a basis for the decision making. Now, what do we mean by this? So a profound understanding of this statement is required before we move to the next discussion. So here comes the part of the analysis that was studied in one of the earlier slides. So the job description has to be extremely relevant and detailed so that the recruitment professional can play his or her role in pre-screening, where they can compare points with the resume. So if the job description is pretty specific yet it is detailed, the decision-making process becomes more robust because they are able to make a better decision related to combining the two and reviewing or evaluating the two. Thus, it is essential to set the goal of number of job resumes to be passed to the phase of the phone interviews. It is always beneficial to select up to 20 to 30 job resumes to be phone interviewed at maximum. So if it's a huge pool, let's say about 50 to 60 incumbents, and the first stage, pre-screening can basically eliminate many, and then you can go on to the next phase, that is a part of the pre-screening, which is the phone screening. Okay, so the diagram here also gives us a very good indication of the same. So first part would be the setting up of criteria or setting up criteria. So here you set up the job criteria, you get buy-in from stakeholders. Okay, so these are the two important steps, post which you start pre-screening of the applicants. So here you pre-screen applicants. Okay, this might be firstly comprising of a pre-screening done for their job resume, the applicants, the cover letters, and then a phone screening as mentioned here. It may also later on entail interviewing, which we'll discuss later. Okay, after shortlisting, exploring mutual benefits and fitment, and finally selecting and onboarding. So these points will be covered in more detail as we progress through this and the next few chapters. Now let's look at the process steps that make pre-screening more effective. So it is always beneficial to evaluate resumes in percentages. So when I was working as a recruitment professional, as a senior manager in a startup in the early years of my career, we used to follow this practice rigorously. We used to evaluate resumes in percentages where we could create priorities or ranks which could relate to the percentages. The successful job resumes should only be taken to the next level. The others should be discarded. That is the phone interview. Correct? The pre-screening can be conducted by inexperienced HR recruiters as well if they are sufficiently trained. So in my days of recruitment, so I did extensive recruitment when I was a part of Wipro, when I was a part of the startup, where SmartCall, when I was a part of KPIT. So we generally trained our junior recruiters to get the task done. We had a few essential elements of checklist and training, which we took them through so that they could either put the person to the next phase or reject them immediately. Now these elements included, job offers. So if you notice in a resume, person who's changing jobs constantly. So if like they've been a year in the job and subsequently they've changed a job and this is repeated in their resume. So this means that they are not loyal to a certain job for a duration. They're continuously changing a job because they are getting a higher salary from the next. So such job hoppers should be candidates for elimination. People with unexplained gaps in their career paths. So many a times there are resumes which show, worked with so-and-so Infotech, XYZ Infotech, so-and-so Infotech from 2007 to 2012. Then worked with so-and-so, company from 2017. So what happened to those 3 or 4 years? So if there is no valid explanation, these can be candidates for a rejection. Misspelled job resumes. Again, if they have not ensured that they care about their right name or they have not proofread their resumes, then again these can be rejections. So here are some pre-screening best practices. Okay, so these best practices are created for effective online pre-screening. Now, as you know, post-pandemic, a lot of the people have gone online. So validate the testing criteria. So, you know, you go ahead and check the testing criteria, the parameters. Consider face validity. So many a times, now this is a broad topic. Some of the specifics which I can add value here is you can check, you know, if they have certain face validity, if they are, you know, those points or criteria are pretty valid and can be checked. Prevent cheating by having people ensuring that the videos are on, ensuring that nobody else is giving an interview on their behalf, that they don't have any unwanted assistance. Protect candidate privacy. So, ensure and give them trust that this critical information will not be published anywhere without their due consent, and ensure accessibility. So, ensure that they have proper bandwidth to attend those particular interviews, that they, if need be, they would be given access to certain infrastructure in one of your branches for a proper seamless interview. So these are some important things that the new age recruiters post-pandemic can consider. Now let's look at the aspects of the selection process, specifically the application form, and what can be screened over here, what can be observed over here. So some organizations or agencies prefer to have applicants use an organization-specific or an agency-designed application form. So this is still prevalent for a lot of organizations across the industry, which I have also observed. The completed application serves the agency as a pre-screening device. It serves the applicant as a preview of him or herself. So rather than a free-flowing bio data or a resume or a CV, they will be filling details in the structure desired by either the organization or the agency that does represent them. Now we all know what resumes are. They are also known as CVs, curriculum vitae. So resumes are creatively designed to reveal an applicant's strengths and hide the weaknesses. So if the organization is not subjecting the prospects, the candidates, to a specific applicant form, then they are free to use a resume to represent themselves. Now, these are certain essentials which a recruitment professional should be aware of. So it's a saying which says putting the best foot forward. So the same is true about the tendency of candidates. They would love to project their strengths and hide their or conceal the weaknesses. They should be considered along with the completed application forms, not in place of them, as they may contain information that is not applicable or available on application. So a diligent recruiter would rather work with a combination of the application form along with a resume. So they might not consider one exclusive of the other. So this is a mistake done by many organizations. They follow a sort of a shortcut approach where if an application form is filled, they don't consider reviewing the resumes of candidates. And as you can see here, of course, with the explanation of the logic, it's very important to have both of them for reviewing. So screening resumes, since we are in the part of screening, is a very critical activity and is one of the most important phases in the selection process. It basically defines the selection process itself. Of course, there are many aspects to consider when screening resumes, such as the appearance and organization of the resume, as well as the job responsibilities listed. So we have detailed enlisting and discussion about the various factors that occur while the application and the resumes are being screened. Now, before we get into that, let's look at the two main types of resumes. So one type is known as a chronological, a time-based. So chronological basically means a time-based, where the incumbent or the candidate lists the educational background and positions held and experience gained by date. Now, this is like in a specific order, usually starting with the most recent. So like, let's say if you pass out of Wellinkers, institute, so you will put that first. Then if you hold an engineer's degree, you will put that next. Then a 12th standard and so on, an SSC that way, right? You can also enlist your experiences in the same manner, like the most recent job. So if you are into a job since 2017 till date, so you will write 2017 till date. This will be preceded by a job done from 2010 till 2017. This will be preceded by the earlier job. Okay, so this is known as a chronological way of devising your or articulating or designing your resume. There also is another format which is functional in nature, which is a grouping of specific skills and abilities. So rather than go in a chronological fashion, they will group, comma separated functions they will have, and probably education can be chronological. Now, as a part of the resume and application screening, what the evaluator or the screener has to do is, they should have a list of standards and criteria in mind against which to compare the resume. So if you were to recollect in a previous slide, we have looked at certain, aspects as well. So these may be job hopping related. There may be other standards like certifications that are done to add value, any extracurriculars that have been, undertaken. So the job description, in addition to this, and any other relevant information should be compared with the resumes. So this will give the candidate, extra, or you might say those gifted candidates can be put into the next rounds. It is important that one always keeps these standards in mind and not bend as they were created to meet the job expectations. So if the job expectation or if the JD entails, let's say, a manager in strategic accounts, and if there is a certification which they need to undertake, and only then would they be considered, do not forego any candidates who don't have this. So don't send forward any candidates who lack that certification. So this may be a standard or an example for a standard that needs to be kept in mind. So now let's look at the six major or main factors to keep in mind during the review process. The first is, consider the job relevance. Now, what do we mean by job relevance? The job relevance is the connecting factor. Okay, so if there is relevant experience, only then should a candidate be considered. So the recruiter or the evaluator should always have a benchmark with them, that is the detailed or profound JD and the qualifications desired for the vacant position as against the applicant's resume, noting the similarities with the person's past positions and responsibilities. So in a recent training that I had done for a startup, I had actually made people, print resumes and have the JD for the same. And then they were supposed to do an exercise where they were supposed to evaluate, compare the elements of the resume with the standards of the JD. These included certifications, these included relevant experiences, these included revenue generation, these included background checks and so on. Now, it is also a job of the recruitment screening professional to visualize the position or picture the position and try to see how well each candidate might fit in that position. So if you are working as a recruitment professional, I would request you to take a pause and pull out a few resumes, and I'm sure you might have a job description, and complete this exercise today. It will give you a lot of understanding and it will help you with the review process. The benefit will be that you will be able to create relevance in your context, in your screening processes. Now, of course, this also involves the fitment with the culture of the organization and the general work setting. So many a times people do possess relevant experience. They do come from reputed organizations, both in terms of the education and experience. But when it comes to fitment, there may be no fitment, correct? So you need to do a thorough analysis of all these aspects before putting a person to the next phase. The next factor is not jumping to conclusions. Many professionals, due to the paucity of time, due to prima facie, reading of information, or due to being over-intuitive, tend to jump to a quick conclusion. What they do is they follow assumptions and they do not get into a thorough analysis. A few keywords might trick them into passing the candidate on to the next phase. Person who's passed out of a reputed organization, an institution, person who's manned positions in reputed organizations, but they fail to see that there are other aspects which may not lead to the right fitment, or this particular person may not have specific knowledge and information related to the JD. So it is vital to be careful not to assume that one knows everything a person did based on a perception of his or her previous job title. For example, if the job involves the person, okay, it's a similar profile, the person has worked in an MNC before, but this job requires him or her to travel frequently to the dealers, to the markets, to the vendors, and the previous jobs that have been manned by the person involved number crunching in the office. Would that person really be able to do justice to this new job? Is one which you need to think about. The next is watch for vagueness. Any sort of ambiguity, any sort of lack of clarity that does not give you the right conclusion is what is vagueness. So a candidate who does not list dates of employment may be trying to conceal a period of unemployment. A candidate who is giving no specific reason for a frequent change in the jobs may again try to conceal reasons why. So they may have been fired from the organization for some reason. They may have been, demotivated. They may have been disengaged, and the reasons can go on. So watch for vagueness, and the pre-screening process will generate signals which will help you determine this sort of a vagueness or a lack of clarity. It's essential to ignore any discriminatory information. Okay, so discriminatory information can be information regards to their race, religion, ethnicity, or the marital status. So these particular aspects today in a diverse and an all-inclusive environment need to be disregarded. So if you are a follower of a certain faith, and if the candidate is a follower of a different faith, first thing is to discard this, ignore it, and check the merit through their previous experience. These factors should not be a basis for a person to be eliminated from the selection. Finally, it is important that the reviewer be reasonable and impartial. So you should not suffer from the similarity bias. For example, if you are from a certain part of India, you should never try to endeavor to find people who are from your parts. This will lead to a bias and a failure in the eventual hiring process. Following individual screenings, now here we, you know, take a step ahead. Once the resumes have been reviewed, it is recommended reviewers sort them into three piles based upon the initial criteria selected: exceeds criteria, meets criteria, and does not meet criteria. Now, when I say pile, it may also mean online documents. So you can create three folders. So it's not necessary that you have stacks of paper. That's not what is intended here. If there are not enough strong candidates to move on to the interview process, it is important to not bend criteria and pull people from other stacks in order to have a large enough candidate pool. So this is a trap which many recruitment professionals and evaluators fall into. So they lower the benchmark, they lower the standards, which ideally should not be done. Okay, so it is recommended to keep all resumes on the file as future vacancies may call for different skills. So you need to bring more resumes which may fall under the meets criteria if there are none currently. Thank you.